our speaker tonight, about a year ago, Millie started inviting her to speak here, which was so wonderful, except every time she was scheduled, I was scheduled to leave town. So she's spoken here maybe three or four times, and this is the first time I get to see our wonderful young soul who brings her daughters to brighten our evenings. Jody, come on up here. Finally, I get to hear her. Go, girl.
Well, thank you for coming. I saw a lot of faces I was excited to see tonight. I haven't seen in a while, so yay! I had printer problems, so I get to go electronic. My printer was printing everything like double vision almost, so I felt like I was drunk trying to read, and I thought that probably wouldn't be good. So, okay. How many of you guys have heard Millie say that we're all bubbles in God's bathtub? Okay, and you know, I think what she's really saying is we're all part of the body of Christ, so how many can agree with that statement? Yay! Woo! And we are, and that's the foundation of who we are, and that's kind of a little bit about what I'm going to talk about today. And we're here on earth in our physical bodies and in the bathtub as bubbles, as Millie calls it. So made me think of one of my favorite Shel Silverstein poems called Crowded Tub. And it's pretty fun. Okay, it's this page right here. It says, there's too many kids in this tub. There's too many elbows to scrub. I just washed a behind. I'm sure it wasn't mine. There's too many kids in this tub. So, you know, here's the bathtub. And, you know, probably this is a little bit more of what it feels like, all these feet and elbows all over the place. So we're in this, we're here on Earth in a really crowded bathtub. Ew. and we all belong in the tub, you know? So, okay. And I'm wondering if Shel Silverstein was a spiritualist. Because I think it's a really interesting just thought and concept that he brought with this bathtub thing. Kind of aligns with what Millie talks about. And one of the things that's been kind of like a recurring theme for me over the past year is knowing who you are. And the last time that I got to host the forum, I got to introduce Rev Rita. And I said she's besides being somebody's wife and somebody's, you know, mother or whatever, she was her own person. And I'm not sure if I said exactly that, but that was what I meant. Like, aside from all those things that she is or does in her life, she has her own identity. Like, all those other things don't define who we are. It just is a part of who we are. It's, we complement all those things by existing within them, but we're not defined by any of those things. And so it's been the recurring theme is to try to say, hey, remember, you're yourself first. And then they always say, you put your mask on first before you help the other person on the airplane. So we're talking about us here today. And so I was looking at Corinthians, and we talk about 1 Corinthians because it talks about the gifts of spirit. And there's more in there kind of along the bathtub theme. And it says, it starts with verse 15, so 12th chapter, verse 15, we're not separate no matter how much we resist, and no matter how much we think we're separate from God, we're not separate. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would for it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. So as much as you say you're not worthy or you're not good enough, you're still part of the body. We see that all these, you know, I'm not an eye, so I'm not a part of the body. And you see that manifest in, you know, how we feel about ourselves, what our self-esteem is, how we feel about some of the mistakes that we've made and the things that we have to keep holding on to and beating ourselves up for over and over and over again. One of the ones that inspired me tonight was thinking that we're not where we're supposed to be for some reason. Like, you know, we're looking at our lives and thinking, well, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. And sometimes I think it might be based on this picture that gets painted of all the things that we're supposed to be flashed at us usually by people who want to sell us those things that they want us to be. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about there is, you know, we really are where we're supposed to be. And one of the struggles that I had was like figuring out who I was at work it's been a lot of years, but I became the manager of the people that were my peers for 10 years. And that transition was difficult for everybody, I think. And I didn't really have the skill set to be able to cope in that situation yet. They talk about it now, I know, emotional intelligence and, you know, accountability and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I've been really struggling. And part of the reasons is because the person I worked for 10 years was so completely different from what my style would be if it was me making the choices. And I always thought this is a great example for me because so capable, so competent in some areas, and just an example of how you wouldn't want to be in other areas. So I got to watch this and get this idea that I was supposed to be perfect and I was supposed to know everything, what I'm supposed to say, what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to know more about everybody else's job than they. I forgot more about their job than they remembered, or something like that. And anyway, so this whole struggle. And I was talking to my manager, and I said, I don't feel like I'm ready to have this conversation. You know, I realize that we're supposed to, like, address it right away, or I guess you're supposed to address it right away, but I'm not ready for the conversation. I'm not. If I'm upset with someone, I want to wait until my anger's gone, until I can think straighter, and then I can really approach it and have a. And God usually gives me an opportunity to approach it, even though it might have been a week or 2 weeks, because sometimes it takes me that long to process through this stuff. But my boss said, "Well, sometimes I do that too." I thought, "You do?" And this is somebody that I admire, so I thought, "Oh, okay. Do I just have to give myself permission to be who I am?" What? So there was my epiphany. It only took 7 years. 42, if you think about it. let's see. So here, where we're supposed to be, these struggles, these problems. So over in Romans chapter 5, starts with verse 3. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they're good for us. They help us learn to be patient. The patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it until finally. Or our hope and faith are strong and steady. And does any of this sound familiar? Because I think I've heard Millie say some of this too. Then what happens? We're able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well, for we know how dearly God loves us, and then we feel his warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So, you know, in all those things, in all those trials that we go through and all these challenges and all the difficult conversations and experiences and stuff, it really is all for our growth and for our learning. So how can we say that's not where we're supposed to be, you know? So wherever you are, it's where you're supposed to be. So now we get challenged to, okay, who now? How do I figure out who I really am? Okay, so Now we're going to talk about how, like, God wants you to be different, okay? God doesn't want you to be like anybody else. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Ooh. And there was another part where it said, we rejoice in the odd parts. And I thought, yeah, that one too. So God made each of us to have our own identity, our own experiences, our own perceptions, our own thoughts. I think it's interesting, too, about perceptions and about what our own experiences are, that mediators, and I think Rev Connie was a mediator and even a decision maker, or because mediators don't make decisions, but in that, it's all about people's perceptions. I mean, when you're problem solving and you're trying to get two people to agree on something, it's not who's right and who's wrong. It's I acknowledge how you perceive the situation and you acknowledge how I perceive the situation. It doesn't mean that I agree or that I'm taking responsibility for how you're feeling, or that, you know, but that I can understand that you have a perspective. And even though I may not agree with it, I can't change somebody else's perspective. You can't. So you just have to operate within the knowing that, you know, no one person even remembers the same experience the same way. And I think that is part of the whole plan. We're supposed to be different. We look different. Now we're thinking differently. He wants us to celebrate this diversity and use it to our benefits, because together we're one awesome piece of machinery. If you don't have a foot, say, in the bathtub, there's a foot in the bathtub, so you can go and make friends with the foot and utilize the foot for what you need it for. I mean, we all are supposed to be together. There's not one brain that can get together if you're, you know, working on a project with friends or, you know, at work. One brain doesn't think of all the things. You need all those different people. You need all that diversity in the room so that people will think different things and ask different questions. So, I found some hip, cool suggestions on how God wants you to have your own identity. And how is it possible that in the Bible there's hip, cool suggestions? Now I have to wait for me to drink some water. Back to Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So don't copy. You don't have to copy people or people's behaviors. Be a new and different person. Whee! New and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. So there's some clues. So just as there are many parts to our body, this is back to Romans, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other and each needs all the others. So we're diverse on purpose. So the picture of the metaphor of the bathtub, the body of Christ, celebrates that diversity. And then that goes to one of my favorite sayings, which is, you are the world's seasoning to make it tolerable. If you lose your flavor, what will happen to the world? And you yourselves will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So, but I like the first two sentences. You got to add your own flavor. Okay? That's what that says. And so he doesn't want us to be like anybody else. And I guess if we haven't kind of figured that out by now, I'm kind of wondering, oh, hello. John C. Maxwell, I have a Bible, it's the Leadership Bible, and included in all it is, like, you know, leader does this, the leader does that, and but I found a really nice nugget. We should not compete with each other, but complete each other. And, you know, you think about that, and I had done a little bit of reading, and I didn't bring any of the quotes, but it was Anne in Thursday night class next to you, Debbie, Anne, and she somebody had given her Conversations with God, and she had finished the book, and she said, I said, well, I've never read that. I heard all about it. She said, well, you don't want to borrow it. I said, okay. And so I really enjoyed it. And a lot of the thoughts were similar to some of the things that we think around here. And one of the things that's said in there is that in any relationship, in a partnership, a marriage, any relationship, we're there to complete each other. That we're not there to rely on the other person or have them rely on us. We complete each other when we come together. We make each other better. And it's not even completing each other, except for in the sense that we become better when we're together and we're each bringing something different. But outside of that, each person is working separately to make themselves the best who they can be and to learn who they are. Because how can you come to this relationship full out if you're not spending time discovering who you are? And that was one of the catalysts for all that thought, was a friend whose husband moved out while she was at work one day, moved out. And the struggle of figuring out where you are after all that, and where was the focus? And, you know, was I focusing on, and I used to say, hey, why don't you do something that really is exciting to you, and it'll make him curious to know what you're doing, because you'll be all lit up and happy in your own self, and it wouldn't be any of his doing. And he would want to know, what are you doing that's filling you up like that? And that, instead of me saying, what are you doing? Who are you writing to? Who are you texting to? Who's that picture of? You know, I'm focusing on the other person. And that's kind of stifling. So now here I'm turning around and just saying, hey, let's find out who I am. I want to know who I am. And then I want to add and have a nice addition to everybody else's and my relationships with them. So if you go back to my struggle to be myself at work, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing it to the best of my ability. I've given myself permission to be myself in every experience and interaction with this world, and I'm in a way that feels right to me, and I'm going to run things through my God self, and I'm going to align things with my values and my boundaries, but I'm giving myself permission to be myself. We have to recognize that we're part of something so much bigger and so much more powerful than we could ever conceive while we're in these human bodies, but we could tap into that power source by practicing some of the thoughts and some of the words and some of the actions that are here today that I'm just sharing with you. Just got it out of the Bible, so there it is. And we tap into that power source, and we can have the faith. We can have faith, and we can be comforted. And the last thing I have for you, actually, before I say that, in the diversity, I brought presents. And I didn't really talk about this, but I wanted to bring a present because one of the things, like, at work right now is generational training. It's called When Generations Collide. And you've got a brand new workforce coming in. You've got baby boomers and millennials and Gen Xers all working together. And you might even have some traditionalists, or what they call veterans. So all these, yeah, I like traditionalists better. But you have all these character traits. And what this is kind of how to talk to, or how to interact, or how to motivate, or how these people operate. So if you have one of these people in your life, you can check it out. I went online and I found a lot of really cool stuff too, pages and pages that I couldn't possibly, like, bring a big stack for you guys, but I have these, so I'll pass those out. John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but cheer up, for I have overcome the world. And remember, the I in that sentence is all of us. We've already overcome the world. So, yay, go out there and be yourselves. Oh, here. In a world where you can be anything, be yourself. Thank you.
I need one of these for work. I'm so sorry I missed your other talks, honey. I'm sure they were fabulous. But I do have a question. Can we wear clothes in that bathtub? Can we wear clothes in the bathtub?
Yeah. I think we probably should.